Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We were just talking a little NBA, and I was giving you my favorite bets for round one of the NBA playoffs, from a league that scores all the time to a team that very rarely scores. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Josh Vernier to talk about a team that has scored 8 runs in the last 6 nights. How are you doing today, Josh Vernier?
Oh, man, I'm doing quite well. C-Dot, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. I'm sure there's a musical artist that, you know, maybe your wife listens to, maybe on the radio, where you hear a song, and then you hear another song from that artist, and another song. You're like, man, all these guys' songs sound the same. Like, he just made the same song repeatedly and repeatedly. I feel like that's what every Royals game is like. Like, you have watched the same Royals game for 5 straight days.
Bro, you're 100% right. Listen, the post-game show last night, I could have ran the previous two. The issue was they were playing a different team. You know, and every night, yes, the offense disappoints for the most part. The big names don't come through as often as they did last year in the big spots. And outside of Cole Reagans, the rotation's been good, but not as dominating as it was out of the gates last season. The defense has been, you know, fine, but when the Royals are good, the defense is more than fine. It's one of the best in all of baseball. The base running is non-existent because you don't have base runners. Yeah, and that has been, as you point out, repeated throughout this road trip, this sizable road trip, C-Dot, that we talked about last Friday. Still searching for that second win, and once again, hoping Cole Reagans can deliver. They haven't won since the last time he was on the bump.
It feels to me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, that there are two kind of camps right now. There is a camp of it's early and that you shouldn't be overreacting. Look, we've only played 3 weeks of the baseball season. I think there also is another side, and that's the side that I'm on, is if you look at this team and the lineup they're trotting out there, it's not much different than the lineup that they had in September and in October, and they are struggling. So I'm not looking at this as just a 3 week issue. I'm looking at this as now they have had 2 months of where they have struggled to consistently put up runs. I guess, what side of this are you on, or do you think it's a hybrid of the two? Do you think it's too early to kind of panic and worry about their offense, or are you worried because there is just so much carryover from the team that made the playoffs last year?
Well, I think it's too early to panic. I don't know how fair it is to lump this first month of the season with the last month of last season because of the Vinny Pasquantino injury. But I also don't think that you should say all is well, nothing to worry about. There's still 142 games yet to play. Again, no reason to panic, but there's also no reason to bury your head in the sand. Okay, last September, no doubt about it, the offense was brutal, but it was also an offense that was so desperate they brought in Tommy Pham and Robbie Grossman and Yuli Gurriel. Now, Pham and Gurriel still getting it done at the big league level, but at the time, boy, that sure was a desperate Those were desperate additions after you lost a guy in Vinny Pasquantino. Too early to panic, but don't bury your head in the sand, because prior to that terrible month of September, the offense was, you know, middle of the road, 15th, 16th best in Major League Baseball. It wasn't anything to write home about, and yet it featured three guys that were certainly worthy of writing home about. You know, Salvi and Vinny last year, along with Bobby Witt Jr., were three of the best 15 hitters in Major League Baseball when it came to hitting with runners in scoring position. Salvi and Vinny last season combined to, when it came to ducks on the pond, right, the big moments, they hit .343 combined. This year, they're hitting .188. I think they'll turn it around, but do I think they'll be top 15 in Major League Baseball when the season's done? I don't know. You know, Bobby's playing well. Bobby's an all-star. He's an MVP candidate. But last year, he put together, C-Dod, one of the 10 best seasons any shortstop has ever put together in the history of the sport. So you don't need to panic 20 games into the season, but repeating what you did last year offensively is unlikely. So if you're not going to get that Herculean effort from the big three, who's going to step up? Jonathan India was supposed to be one of the bats to step up. Hasn't happened so far. Michael Garcia's filled in and done what you expected to see from Jonathan India. But they need more, man. They need more from Vinny. They need more from Salvi, first and foremost. But those guys need some help, because to think that they're going to be all world again, Salvi at 35, it's asking a lot.
And that's why, at least for me, and I can only speak for my own feelings, my own frustration, is part of what has upset me about the commentary is it feels like the whole plan is, well, wait on Vinny and Salvi. And I understand, you mentioned the big three and the foundation and the core of this team, and that makes a lot of sense. But could we potentially be looking at a scenario where this team is 14-23, and then you get Vinny, and then you get Salvi? Because, and maybe this is scar tissue from Royals teams in the past, I've seen a lot of Aprils where they've played themselves out of anything meaningful because they've dug themselves in such a hole. And it usually, the hole they dig, it kind of looks like what their offense is digging for them right now.
Yeah. But even at, what'd you say, 15-23, 14-23, they're still in it. You know, the division won't be over. The final wild card spots won't be over. Yeah, 8-12, no doubt, is certainly disappointing. It's four games under. They were never four games under .500 last season, so that's new. I understand, and yes, I do think some of it has to do with scar tissue, because keep in mind, this 8-12 start since that championship season of 2015, this 8-12 start has been topped only three times. 2016, 2021, and last year. So 8-12, normally we're having a much better time with 8-12 in Kansas City. So the scar tissue, yes, is obvious. But I'll reiterate, man, if it was up to me and you could tell me one aspect of the team is going to be top notch over the first 20 games, I would choose that facet to be the rotation. And that's what's happened. You have Reagan's on the hill tonight, Lugo coming up tomorrow. Yes, you're facing down the barrel of Tarek Skubal on Sunday, but with Colorado coming to town, man, this thing could feel very different this time next week on the backs of the pitching, yes, but also just on the backs of those big three. Yes, they need some help, but for as dire as things may feel, it can change very quickly.
Right now, we're joined by our guy, Josh Vernier, talking a little Royals baseball here. Happy to have him join us on the show today. Do you think, because of the rest of the struggles, that maybe people have focused a little bit too much on MJ Melendez? I know he is off to a really rough start. He is certainly part of the problem, but he is not the whole problem. But it seems like MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfroe, they are taking a majority of the criticism on how this offense has started.
Yeah, no, it's do they deserve a majority of the criticism? Maybe not, but I think a lot of the criticism is fair. You know, Renfroe's yet to produce for a two-month stretch since signing that contract with the Royals. And, you know, what it's really about, again, for as much pressure as for as much pressure as there is on Vinny and Bobby and Salvi, what this team is missing is more thump, right? They only have 10 home runs this season. There's a guy in Oakland that has 9 all by himself. Every team has at least a dozen home runs, and the Royals are stuck on 10. The guys that can hit home runs that you can legitimately expect to run into 20, 25 home runs, they have that type of talent, are MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro and Michael Massey, the three most disappointing bats so far in 2025. Yes, Salvi and Vinny are disappointing, but we at least have a track record to fall back on. Hunter Renfro has a track record, sure, but that track record is getting pretty hard to see in the rearview mirror, so I don't know how much solace I take in the fact that he was someone you could rely on. Yeah, they're getting too much, but C-Dot, you've been around long enough. Chris Getz, Omar Infante, Nicky Lopez. Yeah, guys at the bottom of the lineup often take the brunt of the criticism because in their hearts, haters still like Bobby and Vinny and Salvi, and they don't want to crush, just like they didn't want to crush Hosmer and Moose and Kane back in the day.
I just look at it with MJ Melendez, and I think part of what has kind of fueled the frustration is all offseason we were told that his swing was improved, that they had worked on it, that they had fixed it, and he seems to be as lost and as far off from the target as possible. Like, there was, like, real hope and optimism about MJ. He was a guy that could catch. He was a guy that could play in the outfield. He looked like a guy that had all of the tools. The player that is currently playing for the Royals doesn't look anything like the guy, at least what we projected him to be 3 years ago.
Well, he's the athlete, right? He's still the defender. He's, you know, metrically one of the best defensive corner outfielders in baseball. But no, he's not the 20 to 30 home run prolific power guy that many people expected him to be. Certainly, MJ has been disappointing. No way around that. Yeah.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier here for a few more minutes. Now, Josh, I'm going to ask you this question. I've never asked you this question before, and I know how people are going to hear it, but I have to ask you the question. What if last year was the last great Salvador Perez year? Because usually, you don't continue your level of production at his position at his age. He is going to be 35 years old in less than a month. And the fact that at 34, with the amount of games that he has caught, he hit 271 with 27 home runs and 104 RBIs. Like, that is one of the better catching seasons in the history of the league. You and I both know the end usually comes a lot faster than people want to acknowledge it. I think there is a lot of belief that Salvi is going to turn things around. And he's certainly a better hitter than what he is. But what if Salvi isn't Salvi anymore? Can this offense save itself?
Well, early returns would certainly say no. No, no, there's not an answer if you don't have a very good Salvador Perez. And last year he was very good. I'm not saying I need the 48 home runs that we saw a few seasons ago, but I need better than league average. I need a guy that comes through in the big spots. If that guy doesn't show up, and I still believe he will, to be the type of player that Salvi is, that he was at the age of 33 and 34, the way that he comes back from injuries, you don't become a Hall of Famer and not have another gear, right? If it's going to be the toughest flame to snuff out, a lot like, you know, a Travis Kelce, just when you think he's done, there's a little bit more. But to your point, even Kelce, like Salvi, they'll all eventually reach that wall. But no, there is no replacement, again, unless a Hunter Renfro, Michael Massey, and MJ Melendez become those players that we thought they were going to be. And one more note about MJ. You mentioned the swing changes and how encouraged everyone was. A lot of that encouragement was from the outside, right? People that saw the changes and were hopeful for MJ. But I didn't hear much from the organization of them touting that MJ was fixed or that these swing changes would pay dividends immediately. It was a hope. There was hope that he would. There was excitement that he was willing to change, right? You can't be stubborn, especially when you don't have a track record. So I think there was excitement that he was willing to evolve, willing to try something new. But no, so far, he is certainly not going to be the guy to replace Salvi.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier here for a couple more minutes, getting his thoughts on the Royals. Vern, give me something positive. I feel like for the last 15 minutes, I've just thrown negative questions at you. And I don't want to be negative about the Royals. I mean, if you've been watching this team, It's hard to be super excited about the product that you are watching right now. It is not all bad with the Royals. You look at a guy like Mikel Garcia. He's been really good. You mentioned the rotation. Yeah. Like, it is not all bad with the Royals. What have you been most encouraged by with this club?
Most encouraged. Yeah. Mikel, what I'm seeing from Mikel, I knew that was in there. The question is can he do it over an extended period of time? So I wouldn't say that's the answer. Bobby, no, we knew he was a stud. You know, Chris Bubich jumps out at you, but, you know, especially that start in New York, you know, I thought that was a pretty big spot for him. The first time in his career as a starting pitcher, team with the back up against the wall. Team with real expectations, pitching on the road, and I thought Bubich answered pretty well in his start the other day in the Bronx, 5 1/3, 3 earned runs. Yeah, maybe Chris Bubich would be the most encouraged, because, yeah, it's nothing defensively, nothing on the base paths. Offensively, yeah, Mikel and Bobby are the only ones worth a darn right now. I knew Cole Reagans was a stud. I'm questioning Lugo and Waka for the rest of 2025. Bullpen. You lost Hunter Harvey, so I can't say that. Boy, yeah, it hasn't been the best 20-game start, but I've seen a lot worse. The answer to the question, though, would be Chris Bubich.
You mentioned the Rockies coming up, and they'll be in town next week. How much of this do you think is the schedule? Because I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm not making it seem like this was the lightest schedule that you possibly could have had. I also don't know if it was the toughest. I think they've just played like opponents. You look at Cleveland, you look at Baltimore, you look at Minnesota, like the Milwaukee. They've played teams, I think, around what the Royals are. I do think there is a certain level of hope that, all right, we should be able to get right just a little bit starting next week, and we are going to have a little bit of relief from the schedule. Is that kind of what you're holding on to, that all you got to do is get past this series with the Tigers and the schedule is going to lighten up just a little bit?
Yeah, it's still big league teams. You got to hit, you got to defend, you got to run the – no, they're not – they haven't really played very good baseball. They've played fine baseball. Good baseball at times. I think there was one game on that recent homestand that stood out to me as maybe a great all-around effort. But honestly, so far, especially on this sizable road trip, they've looked like a third-tier team. You know, top-tier teams like the Yankees and Dodgers, where it's World Series or bust. Second-tier, which is where the Royals need to be, where it's playoffs or bust, where you carry yourself expecting to win on a nightly basis. Yeah, in New York, at times in Cleveland, last night, it feels like you're on that third tier where, man, we just want to have a fun summer. Can they at least get us through the summer? We're done with those get us through the summer days. So, you know, I what I want to see is just them some a better brand of baseball, some tighter defense. You know, do something that I can say, wow, you might be able to bully a team with that. You know, the bullpen was showing signs of that early, and then Hunter Harvey went down with the injury, so that's gone up in flames. The rotation's good, but again, I'm curious about Lugo and Waka as this season goes on. Can that trio with Reagans, can they really bully opponents? Yes, I think they can keep you in every game, but can they be the reason why you win on a nightly basis like they were last year? Those are the things I'm watching for.
A couple more questions here, Vern. Are you a Frosty Malt individual or a frozen lemonade?
Frosty Malt out of the two.
Do you get the wooden spoon or do you ask for a plastic one?
Whatever comes with it, but I would prefer a plastic one.
Are you a Dippin' Dots guy? I've taken a lot of grief on this show for being someone who loves Dippin' Dots. Where are you at?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm never buying it, but if someone offers it to me and they'll pay for it, yeah, I'm all about it.
I like Dippin' Dots. I don't know. Maybe because it's just so different. I like the flavors about it. I like Dippin' Dots. The text line hates it, though.
It's just a rough look. It's a rough look with the little cup and the little spoon bringing it to your mouth. It's a tough look.
I am excited to come out to the ballpark. I'm going to try to come to one of these games against the Rockies. I'm going to try to come just because I think they might score in those games and they might win. It's been a while since I felt like that about the Royals. I just want to see it for myself.
The two worst offenses in Major League Baseball coming to Kauffman Stadium starting on Tuesday night. Should be fun.
I'll get you out of here with this question. It's Rockies related. The Rockies have already fired their hitting coach. Now, the Rockies are in way worse position than the Royals are. The Rockies, I mean, they might as well start football season in Denver. Their baseball season is completely over. Could you see the Royals doing something drastic early in the season, or is everybody just taking the company stance? Hey, we are going to stay patient. We're going to keep toeing the line, and eventually we'll get out of this.
Yeah, the latter. Royals have fired their hitting coach this early into the season. Terry Bradshaw, a few years ago, they gave him the pink slip and tried to make him wear it for the team being awful. No. And again, the Royals have three hitting coaches. You know, if three of the best, right, you're in the big leagues, you're doing something right, you're at the height of your profession. If three dudes can't get through to these guys, maybe it's the guys and not the coaches.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Always excited to talk to him. Vern, man, great stuff as always. Man, you know what? For your sake, not for my sake, not for any listeners, I want the Royals to score 9 runs today. I just want them to score. I don't even care if they win or lose. I just want you to just see them hit the ball and move the line and look like a team who could possibly come out on the other side.
Let's all bet the over. Let's do it. I'm with it.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not in the business of donating money to FanDuel. You might be in the business of donating money to them. I'm going to find other things to do other than Royals overs. I appreciate you, Vern.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
That is Josh Vernier joining us on the show today.